Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It is the best.
If you say so. This week, we return to The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy by A. Lounger.
Quickly becoming one of my favorite books Ken's ever brought up, particularly on this podcast.
We are on Chapter 7, Hats.
Oh, le chapeau!
Le chapeau. The hat of the day, or familiar chimney pot, has been well abused and much written against.
Oh my, already. Out the gate, A. Lounger.
It is a favorite with no one, yet continues to hold its own against all comers.
Okay, what? All right.
Why is this?
I don't know, man. He's talking about top hats, right?
He's talking about Sir Topham Hatt.
Sir Topham Hatt. I don't know that you could say it's no one's favorite, but also nothing better has come up. That just seems like now you're just projecting your dislike.
Simply because those who inveigh against it are not prepared to suggest anything to take its place.
Oh, okay, so he called himself out, great.
A headdress for men, at once useful and ornamental, is not an easy thing to devise. Here follows a catalogue to choose from. The pork pie hat, the straw hat, the wide awake, the sealskin, the cloth cap uniformly worn by stokers and engine drivers, the rabbit skin sacred to the heads of costermongers, the Egyptian fez, the Turkish turban, the Parsi cone, the Scotch Glengarry, the Tyrolean hunter, the Spanish sugarloaf, the Irish caubeen, etc.
I don't know a good quarter of those hats.
Now, fancy yourself invited by Her Royal Highness to a Chiswick garden party and had your pick out of the above list. Is there one you would select?
I don't know what it looks like, but yes, 100% the sugar loaf.
I trow not.
What?
I trow not.
Well, get trowing, buddy, because that's what I'm wearing.
You would be forced to fall back on that hideous monstrosity, the black cowl of the period.
It's not that bad, dude.
When the present style of hat came into fashion, I am not archaeologist enough to say.
Shade.
The Dictionary of Universal Information fixes the date about 1795. Samuel Pepys, in his diary, dated June 27th, 1660,
sorry,
states, "This day Mr. Holden sent me a beaver, which cost me £4.05.0.
Pepys beaver?
About the beginning of the 18th century, the crowns of hats were mostly round and had very broad brims, much resembling the Quaker hats, which rarely now are seen. In 1704, the regular three-cocked hat came into use and held the sovereignty of head coverings till about 1760, when a flat-topped hat, full-brimmed, usurped its place. About 35 years after, the cylindrical hat now in general use came into vogue, and at the beginning of the 19th century was generally adopted to the extinction of the cocked hat. Additionally, according to astute listener Sarah Soves, top hats originated between the 1780s and 1790s, and the first silk top hat made in England was in 1793, though top hats appear earlier in French fashion plates. By the start of the 19th century, they were the default fashionable hat made in either fur or stuff. Anything else, usually silk. This stuff is not to be confused with stuff, a term for woven fibers other than silk, and if it was wool, worsted weaves instead of woolen weaves. Yes, that means that based on the context, stuff could mean either almost certainly silk, or almost anything except for silk and some wools.
Excellent use of language, thank you, the English.
Returning to A. Lounger, your hat must not only be of best quality, but also in the fashion of the day. Why the phrase, as mad as a hatter, I know not, except that it be that hatters are wayward, whimsical, and always fond of change, continually altering the style of headgear. A few leading hatters set the fashion in hats, and as the leading swells of the day patronize these exclusive few and always wear good hats, we frequently see the style of hat changed.
Okay, all right, Mr. Lounger.
It evidently would not suit these first-class hatters to allow the same pattern to remain in fashion over long. So one time the hat is bell-topped with a curly brim, anon cylindrical and brim-curtailed, hatbands sometimes worn with buckle, other times in a simple knot, brims and heights of this preposterous cowl varying perhaps the 1/16th of an inch from the fashion gone before.
Why does he keep calling them cowls?
I have no idea. Be that as it may, the laws of dress are inexorable, and, in italics, you must wear the hat of the day and purchase it from one of the few exclusive hatters.
Exclusive hatters?
As Sarah Soes points out, most of the changes he describes would just need a hatter to make a few minor tweaks to an existing hat. Women's hats, by comparison, were changing dramatically at this time as they shifted away from bonnets to tall flower pot-shaped hats, then from those to small hats that were close to the back of the head, then back to flower pots between the 1860s and 1880s.
Wow, okay, that's a roller coaster.
Returning to a lounger. White hats are expensive wear. They suit few so well as black. They cost nearly as much and cannot be done up more than once to advantage. As to their being cooler than black hats, this is fancy on the wearer's part. To wear a shabby black hat is a sign of poverty. To wear a shabby white one indicates proceedings in bankruptcy.
Oh, okay.
The round pot hat is a grave difficulty.
Blaze it.
No.
Is that not... It's got like a fucking cool weed symbol on it?
No, it's a bowler hat.
Oh.
On many occasions, you must appear in it.
I have to? Like, I gotta? I don't wanna. Those are ugly hats.
Traveling by rail or boat, the tall chimney pot is as much out of place as a salmon on a gravel walk.
Okay.
Now, I consider the present hard, inflexible round hat, which will not pack like a gibus, but requires a hat case for itself, a most expensive article of headdress.
A gibus?
Also known as a collapsible opera hat.
Oh, okay.
Which is a top hat with metal springs inside it that allow you to squish it flat so you can put it under your seat at the opera and not obstruct anyone's view.
Daniel has one of those.
Daniel does have one of those because he jumped on that particular eBay auction before I could. Someday a top hat will be mine. Someday.
You'll get there, man.
You must have it of latest shape and how often they change fashion, or you will look like a grocer's errand boy or a crooked-legged conductor of a two-penny bus out for a holiday.
Oh, boy. That almost felt like it should have been bleeped.
A round hat of best quality costs about 16 shillings. It lasts a short time. After a few showers of dust and rain, its pristine beauty is gone and it will not bear doing up.
I almost asked about a shower of dust, and then I remembered, like, the area and time period we were talking about, and it's like, yeah, probably.
The air is full of coal dust and horse maneuver, so...
Yeah, it's all dust, actually.
A hat, when taken off, should be hung up or placed crown downwards on a table or flat surface. Never, as the custom of some is, on its brim, which operation tends to put it out of its shape. The leather of a hat should often be renewed. Now, he's not talking about the leather top hats we saw at King Richard's Fair.
I was actually kind of assuming that they didn't actually have those, however radical that would have been.
It would have been extremely dope, but no. The Victorians did not have the benefit of King Richard's Fair, alas.
Yeah.
Although they did have the Eglinton Tournament, which was kind of the same thing.
I mean, kind of the same vibe.
According to Sarah Soes, the leather they're talking about is the band on the inside that touches your head.
Oh, okay, so that wouldn't be impossible to replace at all.
It would not. A greasy leather, when seen, condemns a hat. And besides, if greasy, the oil will ooze through the silk and necessitate the use of a mourning band to hush the matter up.
A mourning band?
A mourning band. Many people, free from family bereavements, suddenly go into mourning for the King of Greece, as mild jokers feebly express it.
Hey, fuck you, man. That was pretty funny.
The treatment of a wet hat is a subject on which hat doctors differ.
Oh, no. Doogie Hatter, MD?
My mode of treatment, right or wrong, is as follows. Wipe the humid tile with a clean silk handkerchief, and if only wet to windward, it must be equally damped to leeward and all round. Wipe away now until thoroughly dry and smooth. Before hanging it up, place it flat in hands, crown upwards, and pinch up equally with thumbs both sides of brim to restore its flaccid curl. Then depress said brim slightly fore and aft. Hang it, if possible, in drafty passage until next day, for a hat thus treated takes a night to dry. Next morning, attack it with a very hard brush and work away at it with a will. Should some slimy marks remain, as if a snail had left its track thereon, these can only be removed with a wire brush.
Ugh.
You don't want a snail hat, dude?
I don't want a fucking gooey hat. No, it sounds yuck.
Would you have your hat attain a ripe old age? Avoid fingering the silk binding on the brim. See that the knot or buckle of band lies on the center of the left side, and let the band itself be close home to the brim in its original position. Thus concludes hats.
Oh, wow. So, my first thought. We've been discussing, by chapter, how A Lounger is probably a tailor incognito.
Yes.
I do not believe he is also a haberdasher, because, like, the mechanics of a hat actually do seem to somewhat elude him, and he has way too many extremely strong opinions on which hats should be cool. And also, I feel like if he were into hattery, he would know why mad as a hatter is a term.
He would have more to say on hats, I feel, if he were a hatter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he basically just says, like, you're gonna have to wear the popular hat, even though I think it's dumb and stupid and stupid and dumb.
And he doesn't even say when and how to glue cogs onto it or use a pair of goggles as a hat band.
Also, I just gotta say, it's like he doesn't even know fashion at all. Because, like, he said, like, oh, a morning band, and I'm like, I have a pair of goggles, Lounger. When is that appropriate?
Goggles are indispensable for hiding grease stains.
Exactly. You can't see them. Ugh, I'm still thinking about the goopy hat. I hate that.
I'm still thinking about the leather top hats at King Richard's Fair.
I know you are, but whenever there is a quiet moment, I just assume that that's kind of what your mind has turned to.
It's a screensaver for my brain.
It's a rotating leather top hat from King Richard's Fair.
Oh, man. Thank you for joining us on this chapter of The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy. If you would like to give us your thoughts on hats, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends. Or attack us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you liked listening to all the different kinds of hats that there are, and also you're furiously Googling the hats that you didn't recognize and you would like this experience to happen again, consider trailing on down wherever you're listening to this podcast and leaving us a review. I like hats, it might say. 4 stars. Glad you talked about them.
2 stars. Where do I acquire a leather top hat?
5 stars. Thank you for complimenting my lovely leather top hat.
We recently received a review from Bandicoot.
Ooh.
'Twas a cold day in Las Vegas when I found this podcast, perhaps 72 degrees, yet the sun shone with the light of hope, particularly after I found Antiques Freaks. I had assumed my love of old things and octogenarian hobbies would leave me wallowing in dry, nap-inducing podcasts. It would not be so, because I found Antiques Freaks. If you are a lover of antiques, if you swoon at the sight of a typewriter, if you know there's more to vintage sewing machines than meets the eye, if you have always wanted to know about the world of Victorian ferns, I implore you, give a listen to this gem among gems.
Aw, shoot, that was really nice.
Incredibly sweet and far kinder than we deserve. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow, yeah.
If you would like to listen to Deleted Scenes, our series of bonus episodes reading The Penny Dreadful, Varney the Vampire, or The Feast of Blood, or if you would like to see video performances from Drag King Guy Alias of The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy, you can hit up our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. Thank you to all of our patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.